It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A major land conservation project in Wisconsin is moving ahead. Governor Tony Evers announcing in his State of the State address.
We've approved the conservation easement for the Pelican River Forest remaining acres to protect the forest for generations of future Wisconsinites to use and enjoy. This is a big deal, folks.
We discuss effects on public access and forest conservation in northern Wisconsin and hear from you. Call in with a question. You can share thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Danielle Kading is a reporter covering the environment, energy in northern Wisconsin based at WPR's Superior Bureau. Danny, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
Well, can you convey the size of this swath of land in the Northwoods and what it's like?
Yeah, so, you know, this property that was just set aside under the conservation easement was just shy of 55,000 acres, and that was the last leg of the state's largest conservation effort in its history. And previously, more than 12,000 acres of the forest had already been preserved. So in the end, more than 67,000 acres have been protected here. And it surpassed like the Brule St. Croix Legacy Forest, I believe, in its size. So it's one of the last remaining huge tracts of forest land that's all connected here in the state.
What is the forest land like? What are some of its features?
Oh, it has thousands of acres of wetlands and miles of roads and streams. You know, it protects the headwaters of the Wolf River and I believe the Wisconsin River as well. And so it encompasses a lot of land and a lot of water that people want to ensure is protected in northern Wisconsin.
So the forest land could be logged, yet preserved and open to public recreation. So what future use of the property is envisioned?
Yeah, so the DNR will oversee the uses of the property. And as you said, it would be used for logging. And they will look at a forest managed plan that spells out what can and can't be harvested there. And the forest is already open to the public because it's enrolled in the state's managed forest law program, and people will be able to use this property for hunting, fishing, hiking, trapping, cross-country skiing. And then there's also other uses that they'll be able to enjoy as well.
And there are about 70 miles of roads on this acreage. Who will maintain the roads? What does that hold?
Yeah. And as you said, you know, like the project originally included about 70 miles of roads, but after changes, it will now be 56 miles of roads that will be opened up in June, according to the Conservation Fund. And they have provided a $1 million endowment to be able to maintain those roads. And then also there will be existing snowmobile, ATV, UTV trails that are part of this easement. And it sounds like there might also be some opportunities to expand that trail system with local clubs.
Well, let's dig deeper into the funding of this project. In the State of the State address this month, Governor Tony Evers announced that grant funding had been secured and a conservation easement was approved for the project. What are you learning about how the project funding came together?
Yeah, you know, and this is something that started back in 2021 when the Conservation Fund originally bought roughly 70,000 acres of this property. And, you know, since then, they had been working to secure funds from the U.S. Forest Service through a Forest Legacy Program grant. And as you noted, Governor Evers said that that federal grant was about $11 million and funded the project. And they also secured funding from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. But the DNR is saying no state money was used for the project, despite efforts previously to obtain around $4 million through the state's land purchase program.
Okay, so where then is the funding coming from?
So as you noted and the governor said, this is being funded by the $11 million Forest Legacy Program grant through the U.S. Forest Service. The DNR and the Conservation Fund also say that.
Okay.
And I've been talking with them to hash out details of how this easement got done and funded in the last month. So hoping to have more on that soon.
In terms of the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program and funds that go through that program, it was blocked by Republicans on the legislature's budget writing committee. What were the objections to spending state money on this conservation project, Pelican River Forest?
Well, objections from some local town and county officials centered on a number of things, but the chief concern seemed to be how the easement could affect their ability to grow and effects on their tax base. This property, as I said before, it's been enrolled in the state's MFL program for a long time. And so previous owners have enjoyed reduced property taxes for sustainably managing the forest there. And local officials have argued that there's a lot of public land up north, and they say reduced taxes harm their ability to fund roads, schools, and other services. But I do want to note that this is private land, but it will be open to the public under the easement.
So it will be open to the public. Yes. And so do you think like Knowles Nelson is at an inflection point here? If the legislature and the governor aren't aligned about land acquisitions and what should be developed and what should be conserved, what are you watching for there?
Well, related to, the state's program, the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, I do think there's a difference in the vision for how that program should be utilized between Republicans and Democrats. And I think conservation groups would say that these objections and changes to the program, like under the shared revenue deal last year, could potentially make it more challenging to purchase lands under the program because now projects have to obtain local approval before receiving stewardship funds north of Highway 8. And I would say that's roughly the northern third of the state.
Danielle Kading is a Wisconsin Public Radio reporter covering environmental issues around the state from WPR's Superior Bureau. And you can be part of this discussion. Call in with a question, share your views at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As Governor Tony Evers announces authorizing over 50,000 acres of conservation easement in the Pelican River Forest, we learn about this large expanse of land in the North Woods and potential impacts on the region. And you can call in with a question. You can share your comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Danielle Kading covers the environment based at WPR's Superior Bureau. Danny, the Conservation Fund estimates paying about $73,000 a year in property taxes for the land, and local officials say that amount is much less than if the land were commercially developed. How do state and federal ownership of land in the North Woods affect communities?
Well, local leaders say roughly between 67 and 90% of the land in Forest, Langlade, and Oneida counties either can't be taxed or draws in reduced taxes. And again, this property is enrolled in the state's Managed Forest Law program, so the owners of this property pay lower taxes than they would otherwise because they're getting that in exchange for sustainably managing the forest.
Okay, so the Managed Forest Law is a program that encourages that sustainable forestry that is done on, pieces of land.
That's right.
So how are local opponents of the conservation easement responding to the governor's announcement? What have you heard since the announcement?
Well, first off, I just want to point out that more than 50 organizations, including local and tribal government, supported this project. That being said, I mean, some local officials in Oneida Forest and Langlade counties wrote to the U.S. Forest Service in December arguing the agency should rescind the grant it awarded for this project. And my understanding is that local officials are planning to meet with the agency yet this week to discuss their concerns.
Okay, so there is still discussion. What are you hearing from tribal communities?
Well, I do know that the Mole Lake Band or Sacagan Chippewa community passed a resolution in support of this project. And when they did that, they highlighted how this will support natural resources that Ojibwe tribes rely on, while also supporting forestry jobs and protecting the headwaters of the Wolf River.
Will tribal communities be at the table if there are ongoing talks about what happened in this grant and with the U.S. Forest Service? Do you
That's a
know?
good question, Kate. I don't know that.
Supporters for the conservation project say a Texas-based nonprofit, it's called American Stewards of Liberty, is involved by helping local officials challenge the project. What legal theory does this group make to argue that a conservation project like this one is inadequate?
Well, I guess the county officials that wrote to the Forest Service, they're arguing that the agency must coordinate with local governments on these projects. And they've cited provisions within the Cooperative Forestry Assistance Act. But the agency has maintained on other projects, mostly out in the Western US, that there's no obligation to coordinate in the way that local leaders argue. And conservation advocates have said that there's nothing in state or federal statutes that requires the blessing of local governments. And they have also pointed to former Republican Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, who also weighed in on this issue, saying that this idea of coordination isn't something towns can invoke to force additional requirements on others. But the American Stewards of Liberty has been promoting this idea as its leading opposition to President Joe Biden's goal to set aside public lands.
So, what is the Cooperative Forestry Assistance Act? What does it allow?
So, I don't have a whole lot of information on this act, but my understanding is that it oversees things like the Forest Legacy Program and how things would be done through that. But I really can't get into any depth
Sure.
of detail on the law.
How is the Conservation Fund responding to these local concerns about the project restricting development?
Well, after talking with local officials, the Conservation Fund removed almost 1,400 acres from the easement at last count. And that's mostly along local highways where local leaders wanted to maintain the ability to conduct residential or commercial development.
And do you think that will appease groups that say, listen, this we're holding back development, we're holding back growth in our counties?
You know, this has been going on for a long time. And I would say that the fact that local leaders are still meeting with the U.S. Forest Service and wrote that letter in December indicates that they're not pleased. At least those officials who did write that letter, they're not pleased and that they're not satisfied with how this went down.
We're talking about the Pelican River Forest and preservation conservation efforts in northern Wisconsin with WPR reporter Danielle Kading, who's based at our Superior Bureau. You can join in with questions and comments at any point. The number is 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. Mark from Birchwood called in to say that this is really a great thing for generations to come. Danny, Mark really noting here the idea of in perpetuity and that he really supports this. Have other people who are in favor of conservation also come out in favor of setting aside this land?
Well, certainly conservation advocates are supporting setting aside this land into perpetuity. And, you know, the state's forest products industry has more than 60,000 jobs that it support. And this particular forest, the Conservation Fund says it would support roughly 775 forestry-related jobs, and continue that economic impact. I believe it's somewhere around 40 million to 47 million dollars worth of timber that can be harvested within this forest. So that's important. It'll also store carbon. I think somewhere in the area of like 19 million metric tons of carbon, which is equivalent to 4 million passenger vehicles on the road and emissions from them each year. So there are a lot of benefits to preserving this property, including, keeping this land together as we're seeing forest land being fragmented, across this estate.
What is the timeline for public access to roads and to trails within the Pelican River Forest?
Yeah, like I said, the property is now open because it is enrolled in the Managed Forest Law Program. As far as the roads, the Conservation Fund is saying that those will be open by June. There are some limited circumstances where roads may be closed for logging activities or other works, but it's mostly open right now.
And is there any sense that the roads are in that the roads that are being maintained are in decent repair? If can are they accessible in that respect?
My understanding is that there are some repairs being done to roads because of storms that we've seen in recent years. I feel like that derecho that hit, where you saw those straight line winds really affected forests in northern
Sure.
Wisconsin, and that was like several years ago. So I do believe that there is some ongoing management that needs to be done.
In our last few moments together, what are you watching for next in the developments here for Pelican River Forest?
That's a good question. I guess I'd be interested to see if there might be some sort of celebration related to this. Looking to clear up any remaining questions on funding and, more broadly beyond the Pelican River Forest, just following the stewardship program and other projects and how they are being received by the legislature's Republican-controlled Joint Committee on Finance and how that affects setting aside public lands for the future in Wisconsin.
Danny, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
Danielle Kading is a reporter covering the environment, energy, and northern Wisconsin from WPR's Superior Bureau. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.